Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
An unknown author said, "You become successful by helping others become successful." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest who helps farmers and investors become successful. Today's Playmaker has developed crowdfunding for farmers. With us today is a CEO who has developed the Internet's one-stop shop for investing in agriculture. This great Playmaker is Chris Raleigh. Chris is CEO of Harvest Returns. Now, in 2016, while visiting a farm investment in Central America, Chris conceived the idea of building a crowdfunding platform to streamline agriculture investment. He soon founded Harvest Returns to bring that vision to reality. Headquartered in Fort Worth, Harvest Returns is a financial technology company created by two combat veterans to bring agricultural producers together with investors. Through democratizing the agriculture investment process with an equity partnership format, the online platform provides curated, diversified offerings of farm, ranch, and timberland to accredited investors. As a captain in the United States Navy Reserve, Chris is also the commanding officer of a unit focused on building maritime security partnerships in the piracy-plagued Gulf of Guinea. Well, we're going to have a lot to talk about. Chris, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Great to be here.
Well, the question I want to know is, how does a 25-year military veteran get into the farming business?
That's a great question. My road to entrepreneurship has been long and windy and indirect. As you mentioned, I've been in the military for quite some time, active and reserve. I've also got a background working in commercial real estate and IT here in Dallas-Fort Worth, as well as the defense sector in other parts of the country, both as a civilian and in the military. And one of the things that's always been interesting to me is real estate. Real estate is an investment class, and I've been a long-time real estate investor. And more recently, I got involved with agriculture as an investment class. There's a lot of appeal to this as an investment to own a piece of a farm or a piece of a timber stand. It's the demographics of globally are very attractive. People have to eat, people have to wear clothes and live somewhere. And agriculture is the fundamental asset class that produces all those goods. And I started investing in agriculture a few years back. At the same time, this thing called crowdfunding popped up and kind of hit me last summer that there was this possible synergy between the two phenomenons. Here you have the oldest and most important asset class, agriculture, and the newest way to raise this capital, and that's equity crowdfunding. So we started Harvest Returns, my partner and I, about a year ago, and here we are. A few months ago, we launched the platform, and we have live deals, and now investors can come invest with as little as $5,000.
And you mentioned farming, and you mentioned timberland, too, so it could be any kind of crop. Is that correct?
Right. It's what's amazed us is just the huge variety of crops from, we've talked to truffle farmers in Europe, we've talked to cacao producers in Latin America, of course, the great grain and commodity producers all across the U.S., tree crops, pecans, almonds, pistachio, we've talked to, you name it, if somebody grows it, we probably talk to the farmer that produces that crop.
I would think if you're going to invest in anything, then farming would probably be one of the key areas to invest in, because everybody has to eat. There is going to be some kind of return, hopefully, if you invest in farming. Is that true?
That's right. So most crops are produced on an annual basis, although some, especially greenhouse, vertical farming, some of the new more modern technology we're talking to, hydroponics, they're producing crops on a constant rotation basis. So yes, you can get dividends on an annual basis. There's also appreciation in the land or the trees. So it's just like any other investment, but it's more closely tied to real estate. For people who are experienced with investing in commercial real estate, agriculture is quite similar.
I can see how that would tie together and be very similar. You've talked around it, but what do you do? How does it all work?
So we are an equity crowdfunding platform. Many people may be familiar with the word crowdfunding. They've seen Kickstarter or GoFundMe campaigns, but there's also equity crowdfunding. That's where people have an investment in what's generally a private placement deal. There's various rules that were enacted as the Job Act of 2012 was passed, and more recently some of these rules have been formulated from the SEC that enables people to business people to raise capital and bring in a large quantity of investors. And at the same time, the technology is out there. So what we have a technology platform that enables, that connects farmers with investors. And so you can invest, register, do the entire investment process online from the due diligence piece to the closing the deal, the wire transfers, getting your tax statements. All that is all possible to streamline this investment. In the past, if you wanted to invest in a farm, the best way to do it was to go out and learn how to grow stuff and buy a farm. There's obviously some barriers to entry from knowledge and the amount of capital that takes, and we wanted to make this asset class much more accessible.
In this day and age, getting to farming, I would think, would be very expensive starting from scratch. You had mentioned before the show started, there's a lot of farmers you're working with where it's been probably been the business in the family for a while. It sounds like you're a middleman. You have these farmers that need capital. You're helping them get that capital. And on the other hand, you have investors who want to make money. And they want to make money with a relatively safe investment. So you're the middleman pulling those together. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. We're a listing service for agricultural investments, and we provide a venue for people to come and get access to these investments.
Now, you mentioned this a little bit at the very beginning, but you've been in the military 25 years. You said you were involved in real estate. This is similar to real estate, but how did you get started with this? I know you started last August of 2016, but how did this all come into play?
Long background. I worked for a commercial real estate firm. As I said, I've been a long-time real estate investor. One of the things you learn in the military is how to work with a diverse group of people and put a team together and execute things with that team. And so I knew we had to put together a solid team to bring this concept together. So I brought in my partner, Austin Manis, a little over a year ago. We've hired our team. We've consulted experts. We've gone out and spent a lot of time talking to farmers, a lot of time talking to investors, getting to know both sides of the business, and then bring it all together in one concept. And here we are about 15 months later with an actual operating company.
So you want farmers and investors contacting you?
That's exactly right. So it's easy to find us if you're a farmer. Everything's online. Of course, we'd be happy to meet with you in person, talk to you, but investors can find us as well, and they can register and get access to our deals.
And finding Chris is harvestreturns.com. Very, very easy to find them on the internet. Why invest in agriculture? You touched on this a little bit, but why is agriculture the investment of the future, so to speak?
I think there's three reasons, Steve. The first is global demographics. Obviously, the world population continues to increase every year, and as we discussed, the products that agriculture produces are essential for life. At the same time, in a lot of these less developed countries, the more developed they get, the more income, the more middle-class citizens that they have, the more protein they eat. That's a proven fact. So that takes, to produce that protein, takes more land for either growing livestock or growing the grains. The next reason it's a good investment is because the returns are actually very favorable, and people don't generally understand this. From 1970 to 2016, farmland as an asset class in the U.S. outpaced the S&P 500, outpaced AAA bonds, outpaced gold, inflation, all just about every other asset class. So it's a good return, especially for people with a long-term investment horizon. And finally, it's a great hedge. So you know, we're here with record stock market levels in late 2017. And people want to diversify their portfolios with something that's not at such hefty levels. And agriculture is one of those things. And agriculture is not correlated with the stock market. So the market goes down, your agriculture, especially commodity-based agriculture, is going to go up. And we think it's a good way to for people to diversify a little of some portion of their portfolio into agriculture, just like institutional investors have been doing for decades.
I would also think that you're relatively insulated to recession and depression because we all have to eat. Is that correct?
Exactly. Not only that, agriculture is generally, you have some piece of underlying land. So just like real estate, there's generally a value, an intrinsic value there that you're always going to have. With our company, you are investing, or these projects, you're investing in an operating farm, which may have land, which may have capital infrastructure and equipment, and of course the crops itself, whether they're trees, timber, or an annual crop, or a more special livestock or a more specialty crop.
Well, how does it really work? Now, I understand if I'm an investor, I can contact you. You said $5,000 is the minimum entry, but what about farmers? What would a farmer do if they wanted to get involved in harvest returns?
So a farmer, same way, they can find us on the web or give us a call. What we're going to ask for is their business plan. We're going to ask for the background. And of course, we're going to do a background check. The way we vet our deals is essentially we're looking at the sponsor's track record. How long have you been growing this? We do work with a lot of multi-generational farmers who just want to go out on their own away from the family farm and either produce a different crop or get their own piece of land. We're also looking, obviously, at the financial viability of the deal. What sorts of returns are you going to produce for investors? What's the exit strategy? And then we're looking at the specific crop type. Is it a market that is in high demand for agriculture or for investors? Right now, tree crops is the hot crop. So pistachios, almonds, pecans, that sort of thing. There's a very high demand for that among the investors. So we're working with a lot of producers of those commodities to bring their deals to the platform.
On the other side, now I'm an investor. What do I get? What information am I receiving? How do I get my returns from Harvest Returns?
Sure. So the information you're receiving, you're going to get an annual report or possibly more frequently, just like any other investment. You're going to receive, these are private placements, so you're going to receive a K-1 statement for you to do your taxes that reports your gains and losses. We're going to produce regular updates from the farmers. So, and some of these are very social oriented. You can see the farmer's family, you can see pictures of the crops, you can see that sort of thing. And that is important to us because it's kind of helping bring investors closer to
this makes it real for me.
Right.
It brings it to life.
It's more tangible. You're not just seeing a prospectus or an annual report from a company. You're actually investing directly in a farmer and generally his or her family that's producing the goods. 98% of the farms in America are family farmers, even very large ones.
I have a stockbroker. I get my monthly information from the broker with different types of companies he's investing. I don't believe there's any farms in my portfolio, but this is something that people really can get emotionally involved in. Is that correct?
It is. It's, for people that want to put a portion of their portfolio in something outside the stock market or the bond market, outside your 401k, you can basically understand a farmer's story. And yes, you want to make an investment decision based on the merit of the investment, the risk in return. But it's great to be able to enhance a farmer's life and produce something that's so essential for everyone.
So as an investor, let's say I have interest in a specific crop. Could I contact you and say, I'd like this type of crop? Could I invest in it?
Sure. We have a huge deal flow, lots of different farmers who want to raise every variety of crop. And some of them, we can only list so many deals at once. But if you have a specific sort of crop you're interested in, by all means, let us know, and we will try to connect you with that specific farmer or farm type.
So, in other words, if I have some specific crop, you may not have a farmer in that area. You might find one.
We could certainly do that. We can begin looking for them, and we're definitely interested in feedback from our investors on what they're looking for.
Well, how large are these deals? When you're working with a farmer, what are the size of the deals that you're putting together for the investment?
So we consider ourselves kind of a middle market between, say, the small hobby farmer who might produce some goods and sell them at the farmer's market and the large industrial farm. And so the deal size is generally between $500,000 and a few million dollars. We get approached by farmers who want to do much larger deals, and in some cases we're working with them to raise at least part of their capital that they need, and there's other sources of institutional funding that they can do that, or large family offices, that sort of thing.
So as an investor, are you limiting me to how much I can invest in a specific farm or in a specific project, or can I invest as much as I want?
You can invest as much as you want in one project. We have small minimums because we want to make this accessible to as many investors as possible. But if you want to invest $100,000, $1 million, several million, we can certainly find a place for you to put your money.
So how would I know if you had a project coming up that I could invest in?
We'll generally list some coming soon sorts of deals on the platform that will show you what we're looking at. You can always, of course, reach out and ask us what's in the pipeline and if you have a specific interest, and we will be happy to talk to any investors.
So again, I could invest for as little as $5,000. That's A, part of the question I want to ask, and you just nod your head, mm-hmm. Yes. And B, could I go through my stockbroker?
Yes, a lot of people have custodial accounts, self-directed IRAs. You can use that to invest on the platform. But certainly, if you have a private advisor, your broker can contact us and set up an account, and then they can facilitate the transaction. So you don't necessarily have to mess with it. That said, it's very easy for an investor with several clicks and some bank account information to get invested in a deal. This is the crowdfunding model that's been well proven. It's raised hundreds of millions of dollars across the commercial real estate sector, and we're just applying it to production agriculture.
You mentioned self-directed IRAs, which is rather interesting. Now I can invest in my future by investing in something that people need all the time, and I can continue growing my IRA. Is that correct?
Right. You can grow your self-directed IRA. As most people know, it's enables you to grow your wealth and your returns tax deferred until you need that money at retirement. And so it's a good way to kind of put some portion of your portfolio in an asset class that is real, that's tangible, that produces great returns.
So in other words, when you begin working with a farm or a farmer or their company, you could continue with them indefinitely. Is that correct?
Of course. And we've talked to farmers who have very grandiose plans to expand their farm, and we want to work with those guys. We want to help them raise capital over and over and over again. And if you're an investor, you want someone who's proven and done it before. So at some point or another, we'll have repeat sponsors.
Now, you've mentioned a number of these that I'm going to ask the question about, but I'm an investor. I have some interest in this. What, again, are the advantages in crowdfunding and also in investing in agriculture?
So as far as crowdfunding goes, one, the low minimums are attractive. There's other ways to get into production agriculture. There's some publicly traded stocks. There's some REITs, private equity funds. Many of those have very high minimums. We're talking $100,000, $200,000. So crowdfunding enables you to get in, and our platform enables you to get in with a much smaller, kind of dip your toes in the water amount of money.
Well, you've been doing this, or you started in August of 2016. This is about, as you mentioned, 15 months later. Any specific lessons you've learned over time that you didn't realize that you were going to learn when you started this project?
One, the demand for, on the production side, agriculture production side, farmers has been probably greater than we expected. I think there's a lot of people who are dissatisfied with the traditional ag credit system and traditional banking system and are looking for new ways to raise capital. So we're happy to provide that. And there's also some crops that are just hard to get a loan on or impossible to get a loan on, such as tree crops. So we like to fill that gap. The second is the regulatory environment. We knew it was going to be challenging, but there's been a steep learning curve with learning all the ins and outs of this new form of investment class and all the regulations, making sure we're compliant with the SEC and all that. But fortunately, we have some sharp lawyers who we spend a lot of money on, and they help keep us in check.
So it's been a learning curve.
Definitely.
We're speaking with Chris Raleigh. Chris is the CEO of Harvest Returns. What's been your greatest challenge so far in putting all this together? Now, you actually started in August of 2016, but you began to plan this prior to that. So any specific challenges that you've run up against that were the most difficult ones for you to deal with?
A lot of moving parts on what we're doing. There's a number of technology platforms and providers that we've had to integrate. So that's been that's been a challenge, not insurmountable. As I mentioned, the getting over that learning curve of the regulatory environment, and now it's a matter of building our brand, getting traction, name recognition, educating potential investors on why they should be in ag, the advantages of ag. It's not like agriculture is not a new investment class. It's fairly new to retail investors, though. Pension funds, university endowments have all been in this asset class for decades. But up until recently, it's been fairly hard to access. So we're here to educate our investor pool and make sure that they're aware that they have an alternative to the stock market.
Then because of crowdfunding, I can actually do what much larger investors are doing by an entry, the fee of $5,000.
Right, $5,000 or $10,000. Our minimums do range from about $5,000 to $25,000. So there's a variation depending on the specific deal type. There's also some restrictions. Most of our deals are designed for accredited investors, so there's some restrictions there, for qualifications. But we have a deal that's available to non-accredited investor too. So encourage people to look at the platform and ask questions and learn before they invest.
So what's going to be your greatest obstacle in the future? Is it what you mentioned before, just getting the word out, getting people to find out about you?
I think that's a challenge. I think that'll come the longer we're in place. I mean, we've got nice steady growth rates, and we've got all kinds of detailed analytics on who's in our platform and what they're looking at, and we can adjust our deals and the deals we list based on that. I think the regulatory environment is still somewhat of a challenge. Crowdfunding rules are dynamic. They just took them about 4 years between Congress enacting the legislation in 2012 and last year spring for the SEC to formalize those rules. And my understanding is they're still dynamic. I think there's still some shortcomings there. There's a lot of legal barriers for us or anybody doing in the investment business. I think some of the rules are probably designed for another time and place. And now that we're in the 21st century, where everyone has a cell phone in their pocket and can have instant access to pretty much any information they want at any given time, some of those rules probably need to be adjusted as well.
Are there other companies that also are doing crowdfunding in the ag market?
There are some, a couple competitors, a couple people that I think complement us. One big one is AgFunder, but they are more focused on agricultural technology. So this is a huge space. It's a little higher risk because these are companies that, like any sort of technology company, there's a higher level of risk and potential reward. But there are amazing things going on in ag tech with genetically modified seeds, with robotics, with precision agriculture, those sorts of the Internet of Things, all is being applied to agriculture. So AgFunder's is a great position. There's some other platforms out there that are doing more specific geographies, but we're sort of geographically agnostic and crop agnostic. So I think that's our compelling competitive advantage there.
Now, I understand how investors find out about you, but how do the farmers find out about you?
Same way. We have a place on the internet that the farm on our website that the farmers can fill out the specifics of their deal, and we'll get that. We'll respond to them. We'll start a dialogue, see if it's a good match for our platform, and if the farmers project sort of has the qualifications that the investors are looking for, and then we'll go from there.
I'm looking at your website right now, which again is harvestreturns.com. I see a quotation here that says agriculture is going to be the big thing in the next 20 years. So over this period of time, will this get better and better?
I think so. We were in an investment show in New Orleans a couple of weeks ago, and there was some pretty big financial names that were advocating for agriculture, and this is the first time I've heard this. Commodity prices have been pretty depressed in the U.S., and a lot of the grain farmers, traditional conventional grain farmers, have had sort of a hard go at it the past couple of years. But one of the speakers there said that he expects the commodities to return to greatness as an agricultural investment or as an investment class the next couple of years. Other ones just were touting that, you know, agriculture is just a good place to put some portion of your portfolio, given that it's non-correlated to the stock market. So if stock market at record highs has a major correction, have something in your portfolio that's safe that's going to hedge against those losses.
Should a listener, be they a farmer or an investor, want to get a hold of you? We've mentioned this a couple of times, but tell everybody how they can find out more about Harvest Returns.
Sure. As you said, the best way is our website, harvestreturns.com. We also have social media channels on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We try to put out a lot of – we have a blog. We put out a lot of educational material on that blog and in other channels because we think it's important for investors to know that there is agriculture, to understand the investment class before they put in any of their money in it. And we also have some educational products for farmers to help them learn about raising capital, because it's not a concept that most farmers are used to.
Different way of looking at it. It's a change in the way people have been investing. Well, Chris, this has been a terrific show. You are definitely a playmaker. You are definitely making some things happen. Thank you very much for being on Playmakers Talk Show.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And thank you to our listeners for listening. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our past episodes. That's PlayMakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.